Praise the Lord. Another beautiful day. This week we experienced serious South Dakota winds. I sat down to pray on the, I guess it would be the second day of the wind. It was building one day, and the next day it was blowing even better or something. And the night that it started coming up, and then the morning I sat down, and I sat down in my little corner. And for one thing, I really miss my corner when I'm not near my corner. There's something about my place where I meet with the Lord. And so I'd had a couple of days to get back to that and spend a lot of my time in that corner saying to God, it's so good to be in my place with you, Lord. But on that particular windy morning, he and I had been visiting a little bit, and I sat down, and I mean, the wind was literally shaking the siding in my corner. It was loud. It was loud, like a rushing mighty wind. And the Holy Spirit said, tell the wind to stop. And so I chewed on that a bit, and I said, okay, wind, stop. Now, I could still, the wind just went down. I could hear it way out there somewhere, but my corner is quiet now. The next day when I sat down, I thought, my corner is quiet. I could hear the wind in the distance, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of things that come at us, and if we put our trust in the Lord, they have to keep their distance. And so then I was so blessed that I just had this urge. I had to get my guitar, so I got my guitar, and I started singing to the Lord, and then I quit singing to the Lord, and I was just playing some chords, and I'm playing these chords, and all of a sudden I heard notes in perfect harmony, just the coolest notes. And I thought, wow, how am I doing that? And then I realized I wasn't doing that. They were heavenly notes joining me in playing, and I thought, whoa. And then they were gone, and I couldn't play the notes anymore, so I knew that they weren't my notes, but they were God's notes. And you know, what's that all about? I don't know. But I know that it blessed me. It blessed me enough that I went and I told my wife, I got to tell you something. I don't talk too much about everything that necessarily the Lord says or does, but I had to share that. And I think that maybe part of that would have something to do with today's message when Hebrews 10:23 says we must hold on to the hope that we have, never hesitating to tell people about it. We can trust God to do what He's promised. To hold on to the hope that we have. And when God says don't hesitate to tell about the hope that you have, He's not talking about tell people about God. He's talking about tell people about the hope that you have. Tell people about what God has done for you. Tell people that God can do what God says He will do. That's what God wants. Our hope is in God, folks. It's not in anything else. It's in God. And I was thinking about that and about how they're always saying that the youth are our future and stuff, you know. And the youth aren't our future. God's our future. Amen. Youth that don't acknowledge God as our hope are not going to be a great future. Simply because, our country, I have long said that I'm thankful for the generation that fought through wars. That, you know, a lot of them went to church not knowing God, not being really told about God, but knew that God was supposed to be honored. And that, those godly principles that built our nation are the things that enabled us to have the things that we have. And as we've heard other people talk about, the fact that, you know, there was a lot of wisdom and a lot of things that God had available for Christians, but Christians weren't interested in them at the time. And so non-Christian people picked them up because we needed those things. But now we have proven that technology does not solve problems. Sometimes creates problems. You know, we have proven that advances in medicine don't make people well. Gives us really just a better opportunity to plan for them to die, I think. All of the advances are not really, we're sicker than we ever were, maybe because we've got more people. You know? But no matter what, those things will fail, but God will never fail. Jonathan said an interesting thing at our house. He says one of my one-legged patients, he talks about, we laughed at that. But he said he tells them, because I was saying that people say that anybody who has ridden a motorcycle and has never had to pick it up, or they tell you that they've never picked it up, they're lying, because eventually you will pick it up. It just depends on what speed that it goes down at, but eventually it will. And Jonathan said, well, he said, you know, that's what I tell my one-legged patients. When I give them a prosthesis, you will fall. If you haven't yet, you will. And so part of their therapy is to learn how to fall right, and how to get up. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. As a Christian, the Bible tells us that when you fall, just get up. It's important to know how to get up. Now, there's one thing that we know if we've ever done any falling, and that is that if we know that we're falling, we do our best to catch ourselves or to hit and to roll and things like that. And sometimes I find that Christians don't know they're falling. Because they don't know they're falling, they might be stumbling toward a cliff. And if they would just lay down, they wouldn't go over the cliff. Lay down and call upon the Lord. But oftentimes I see Christians stumbling toward a cliff and stumbling toward a cliff and then over the cliff. But even at the bottom of the cliff, you can get up. And generally, it's not somebody that pushes us over the cliff. It's us just not recognizing the signs. Not following the detour signs and driving right through or going off. I had a dream one time about someone that I was helping, and in the dream, the person was already over the cliff, and I was holding and holding and holding, but they weren't even holding on. I was squeezing and doing everything to keep the hold going, but they weren't squeezing back, and the Lord said, let them go. I said, oh, God, just let them go. Pick them up when they get to the bottom. And I thought, well, that's a strange dream, but that's a fact. Sometimes we can try to hold on to something, and if they aren't interested in holding on, if they aren't interested in going ahead, then there really isn't much sense in wasting your energy and your effort. God's our hope. God is our only hope. He's the only hope for everybody. And above all people, Christians need to be convinced of that, that God is our hope and the hope for the whole world. Whether the whole world wants to believe that or not makes no difference. It's the truth. And so when we're convinced that He is our hope, then we will start trusting Him to be our hope. And we will start expecting Him to do the things that He has promised, to never stop telling people that God can do what He promised. And sometimes the person we need to say that to the most is us. David did that. He said, oh soul, why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. He would tell himself, let's just praise the Lord. We'll get our hope back. God's our future. Many times in Hebrews, it says, today's the day. Today, if you hear God, don't harden your heart. Now, that's not just for people who are lost and need to get saved. That's for people who are saved and need to move on. Today, if you hear God's voice, today, if you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, today, if you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, ah, that's it. Receive that. Receive it. Don't harden your heart. Don't try to make an excuse when the word is trying to get to you. Don't try to rationalize. Simply say, okay. And then change it. How many times have we heard first Bernie, then John, and others read that declaration? And that declaration is right straight out of Scripture. And we can hear it, and we can believe it. But if we don't receive it, all we will do is hear it and have a knowledge of God but lack the power thereof. How much of God will do? You don't have it yet, I'll guarantee you. I don't have it yet. Because you can't get too much. You can't trust too much. You can't hope too much. You can't press too much. You can't desire too much. You can't receive too much. Now, some things, you know, why do we want to prosper? So that we can get something? Or we should want to prosper so that we have more, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get something, but it's better to have something to give. One time when the first time that I heard Kenneth Copeland share about being in the grocery store with his child, and his child wanted a piece of candy, and he said, I can't afford that. And the Holy Spirit corrected him and said, that's not true. So he had to apologize to his child. Now, if his child had wanted a Learjet at that time, Kenneth Copeland would have been absolutely right to say, I can't afford that. I cannot afford a Rolls Royce. I don't care what you think. I cannot afford a Rolls Royce. I do not have the money for a Rolls Royce. And I'm not going to tell somebody I can afford a Rolls Royce when I can't afford it. John, you can't afford a Learjet to fly me around, can you? No, probably not. Now, if God said, John, you need to start a movement so that Roger can have a Learjet. Can you see a Learjet from here to Pier would really get me to jail in a hurry? The truth is, I can get there quicker on my motorcycle than I could in a Learjet. Because I would have to get to the airport, they would have to do the check, they would have to start the engine, they would have to warm up the engine, they would have to take off, they would have to land, they would have to get me on the ground, I would have to find somebody to give me a ride to the jet. I don't need it right now, okay? But I can be honest and say, I cannot afford that. But if God said, Roger, this is what you're going to do someday, I would say, praise the Lord. Your idea, you take care of it. I would never disagree with him if that's what he wanted to do. But we got to trust God. And it's how we know God. And it's not just repeating what somebody else says, it's receiving what they said. It's receiving that. It's when someone says, and I pray that God will supply all of your needs, for you to say, I believe that. Lord, I receive that. And not just because somebody said you got to believe it and receive it, but because, whoo, I believe that. And glory to God, if I believe that, I can receive that, because that's what Jesus said. If you can believe, you can receive. All things are possible to them that believe, but there is that receiving. If I said, Rachel, I've got $10 for you, she said, I know you do, but she never received it, she'd never get it. We have to receive that. We have to receive, the Bible says, receive the word of God and graft it. To graft something requires some preparation. To graft something into another tree, guess what? A slit is made in that other tree. So we have to make a space to graft that in. We have to have an opening to graft that in. And then we have to receive that in. And then we need to water that so that it can grow up. If we don't think it will ever grow, it won't do anything. When I took out the bushes and I put in the grass seed, my last experience with the grass seed that I put in was such that it just didn't grow. But I had planted it over at Mom's and Mom didn't water. And I didn't get there often enough to water it. And so it didn't do really so well. But I said, okay, I'm going to do this a different way. So I laid gunny sacks over it and watered the gunny sacks. And some came up. Well, in this one, I happened to have a hose and I happened to have a sprinkler and I happened to be able to turn it on all the time. And the first day, I didn't see anything. And the second day, I didn't see anything. And for quite a few days, I didn't see anything. But I decided, well, I'm just going to keep watering it. And then some little green things came up. I said, well, this is good. I'll just keep watering it. And keep watering it. You know what? I got a green spot in my yard now, right where I watered. I don't water the rest, but I wanted that to grow. This is what you have to do with the Word of God. You have to keep watering it. To be honest with you, I didn't have a lot of hope for that grass seed. But it has done well. Sometimes we may not have a lot of hope for the Word of God. We may not have a lot of hope in God doing what He has promised. We can be honest about that, okay? Because we all have places where we don't have much hope. When the Holy Spirit said to me, tell the wind to stop blowing, I thought, yeah, why not? But when it went down and then it stayed down in my corner, I thought, well, this is cool. Do you know that when Jesus stood up and said, peace be still in that storm quit? But I bet there were still storms around the world. Will we obey? Will we listen? Will we believe that He speaks and will we listen for Him to speak? Will we take the time and put in the effort to hear His voice? Will we put in the effort to hear His voice, knowing in our heart that He's our hope? God is our future. God is my future. Man, we got so many young people nowadays who don't know that God is the future. And they don't know that God is the future because they haven't been told that God is the future. If you have told your children that God is the future, then you've planted a seed that hopefully they will just spend their whole life going, God is my future. But should they lose vision for that, that seed will be there. But we have so many that have been told that there is no God. And yet our scientific advances have proven that there's got to be somebody that designed this. We don't want to say it's God, but somebody did. Well, I wonder who would do that. Who would do that if not God? Well, it was God as I know Him. Well, if you know Him as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're right. If you don't know Him as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're wrong. That's just the way it is. Well, does it have to be the way you say it is? Well, it has to be the way the Bible says it. Because everything else in the Bible has proven itself true. Nobody else is the God of a book that has been true. Unless they picked something out of His book. How did God do that? I don't know. But He's accomplished enough for me to believe that He is our future. And for me to be willing to be talked to by the Holy Spirit when I think that I'm thinking that He's my future and I'm not thinking that He's my future, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to remember that God is your future. We need to be honest with ourselves and with God and with the world. We need to be sure that what we have to share about God being able to do what God says he will do is based upon our own hope, based upon our own experience with God doing what God says he will do. And in order to experience God doing what God says he will do, we've got to let him do it. We've got to believe him. Then we've got to recognize it. Now, I will grant you that I could find a whole lot of people that would not believe me that I told the wind to stop and that it stopped. Be no problem whatsoever. Because not everybody was in my corner. But there are some who believe God that would say, why not? You know, it's like the thing where Bill Johnson shared with us about, I want my knife back. And when I heard that that guy said, I want my knife back, and it dropped on his bed, I thought, now that's cool. Out of nowhere, something came. It's not a problem for God. And since that time, God has been very faithful. I have not yet had anything drop out of nowhere into my vision. But I've had a lot of things that I don't believe I ever would have found if I hadn't started saying and believing based on what somebody else experienced and saying, well, why not me? Why not you? Why not you and me when we say God is my future and then we look at things the way that God makes a future and God's future plans for you are what? They're good. His plans are good. And nothing can stop his good plans except us if we won't receive them. Oh, things can delay them, but so what? If we know we have them. When I order something on the internet and they say, thank you for your order, I expect it to show up. When they send me a confirmation email with a tracking number, I check the tracking number and I expect it to be there. Wherever they say that it is, I expect it to be there. If I can believe them, why can't I believe God? If I go to the store and I pick something up and I go to the checkout counter and I pay for it and they put it in a bag, I expect I can take that bag with me. If they said, oh, wait, sir, that's not yours, I would say, yes, it is. I brought it to you. You put it in the bag. I paid for it. Here's my receipt. That's mine. Well, that all seems very simple. Then why aren't the promises of God just as simple if we can believe them and if we can expect them? Now, here's the deal. When you look at a question like that, here comes the enemy. The enemy to remind you, yeah, but. I believed this and it hasn't happened. And in fact, we usually won't say, I believe this and it hasn't happened. We will say, I believe this and it didn't happen. But by faith, we can say, you know, either it hasn't happened, I don't know exactly what got in the way of it, but that really doesn't matter. I prayed for my dad to get up out of that hospital bed, and he did. Just not how I planned it. It doesn't matter. Oh, you could make it matter. I had a choice. I could have quit believing in God for healing. I could have just got mad at God, walked away from God, gone back to the bar, picked up my guitar, and gone and been a rock star. That would have been stupid. My wife says amen. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people have done just that over more foolish things than that. Somehow, in faithless vision, we see God as failing, and if God is failing, then we're going to give up on him. And if we believe that God failed, we're a little hesitant to believe him for the next thing. We're more inclined to increase our unbelief than we are to increase our belief. What's wrong with that picture? Where are we going to stand Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, say, yes, Lord. Today, if you're not hearing his voice, keep listening until you do hear his voice because he's speaking. Some things, there are some things, I'll be honest with you, I don't ask about. I'm not sure I want the answer. But when the Lord reminds me that I haven't asked about that, then I have no choice because he's saying you should ask. There are some things that are bigger than I think that I have faith for, but if the Holy Spirit says, do it, well, he knows better than I do. And so we submit ourselves, therefore, totally unto God. We resist the devil who tries to get us not to join in with what God wants. And the devil flees. And God wins. You know, it's good just to have confidence that God has heard us and that he's going to do what he says he will do. And then to just stand in that confidence. Worst thing that we can do, once we believe that God has heard us, and once we believe that he's able to do what he said he would do and that he's going to do it, is start looking at whether he's doing it or not. Start looking for signs. Last night, the guys came home with pheasants. And my mother came over and she said, well, their feathers are all gone. Strange pheasants. Their pheasants were all feathers were all gone. They'd skinned them already. She wasn't expecting them to be skinned. You know, sometimes God's already done things, we don't see them. And sometimes he's already done things, and we won't see them. Couldn't be that quick. Couldn't be that easy. I know someone that loves to talk about the Ten Commandments, but has absolutely no confidence in them whatsoever. Why would you want the Ten Commandments on your wall if you did not know the God of the commandment? I grant you, I think it would be beneficial to have them back in the schools, but I can tell you for a fact that when they were in my school, they didn't mean a whole lot to me. And when it was okay to pray, I don't remember everybody praying all that much. The future is in God. And we, above all people, must be convinced of that. And then we must speak of that. And we must receive all those things that God wants. Everything that's in his word, we need to become greedy for. Everything that God says, I want it. We understand how to be greedy for a lot of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with stuff because God wants to add all the stuff to us. But our first focus needs to be on him. And then everything else has a opening to come into our lives. Israel didn't enter in to God's rest because they didn't believe in God's rest. And God said to them, you'll never enter in. And yet, I believe that God had they called out to God, he might have just let them in. Be safe, guys. We don't know. We don't know because they just said, oh, okay. We do know that Joshua and Caleb said, we're going in. We're going in. We're going in. And we do know that the next generation went in with them. But a bunch of people just gave up and died in the wilderness. What are we going to do? Folks, we weren't created to die in the wilderness. We weren't created to hang out in the land of unbelief. We were created to be wise. You know, people say that they stayed in the wilderness, and they did. But you know what? The whole time they were there, God kept feeding them. Their clothes never wore out. They kept being taken care of. Isn't that something? So if you feel like you're in a wilderness place, be in a wilderness place planning for the promised land. Recognizing, hey, I'm not in the wilderness. I'm in the promised land. The promises are just catching up with me. God is our future. And if we put our trust in Him, blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. It's so important. It's so important that because we are in such a great place. We are in such a great place in time. We are in such a great place to experience and to enjoy the manifestations of God. We are in such a perfect place. So many people have gone through so much and have learned so much, and we are benefiting from the things that they have. We have no business to be hanging out on the beaches. We have no business to just be standing on the beaches when the promised land is waiting for us. We have no business to allow anybody to keep us out of the promised land, including ourselves. Don't listen to yourself if yourself is trying to keep you from pressing through. Tell yourself, you're not talking sense. Shake it off. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands and praise the Lord. Begin to believe what God has said. We've all got places where we can improve, don't we? And God is our future for that improvement. As we listen to Robert Morris talk about the God I never knew, and as I said, it should be a reminder rather than a revelation, but still, there's much that we can learn when we begin to say, okay, yes. I mean, I was putting that into practice, talking to the Holy Spirit about it, when the Holy Spirit said, well, tell the wind to stop blowing. Now, that's not the first time that I've spoken to a storm, because I knew that you could speak to storms. And I will tell you that I do not have a batting average of 100 at getting every storm to stop. But I have managed to get through some driving that I will give God all the glory for. That would have been a lot easier if He just would have stopped them and the sun would have came out. But I don't care. He got me through them. But this one in particular, when the Holy Spirit said, tell it stop, after a little chewing and saying, why not? The storm spread away from me. I'm sure I could have walked out the back door and found a lot of wind, but my corner was peaceful. And I will never forget that. And I will use that for the storms of life. I will use that for just about anything, because I believe it applies. There's so much that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. There's so much that we need to use the Holy Spirit eraser and erase our memories. Couldas and shouldas and wouldas are the most, they are killers. Just killers. Our future's in God. So Lord, we're thankful that our future is in You. Our hope is in You. Our help is in You. Our lives are in You. We have not even begun to see all the promises of God completed. But the ones we've seen are so good, Lord. You've been so good to us. Lord, it would be beneficial for us to just sit in Your presence and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to go over a list of the great things you've done in my life, things that I've noticed, things that I haven't noticed, and give you glory and give you praise and give you honor for them. And in so doing, Lord, we will be built up in our most holy faith, and we will not hesitate to share the hope that we have and our confidence that you are not only able, but you do all the things that you promise. Thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.